There's so much that could be said from our gospel today, from John 6, and a lot's been said over the past few weeks. But I'm going to limit myself to this one incredible truth, that our God is a God of promises. And in our gospel, Jesus makes three promises that are related to each other. The first two are ones with which we're familiar. Now, that doesn't mean we appreciate them or that we let them change our lives, but we're familiar with the words. The third promise sounds the same, but it's very different. And what Jesus promises us is almost beyond belief. The first promise, whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Of course, the bread of which Jesus speaks is the Eucharist, the true body and blood of Jesus. St. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, states clearly, he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? That's the only reason the first promise makes any sense. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. If it was just bread, that would make no sense. Whoever eats this bread, whoever eats the body of Christ worthily will live forever. Jesus promises us and wants to give you eternal life. And that leads to the second promise. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, a repeat of that first promise, and I will raise him on the last day. Again, Jesus desires to give you eternal life, but more specifically, you will experience the resurrection. I will raise him on the last day. Your body, united to Jesus' glorious body in the Eucharist, will be raised up gloriously. It's no wonder that the Eucharist is called the bread of life. However, notice something about these two promises. As wonderful as they are only about us. They only talk about what we receive. The third promise sounds like the first two, but there is a progression in these three promises. And if you know your Bible, the third will represent the perfection of the divine plan. Here's the third promise. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Remains in me and I in him. It is this bread which unites Jesus to the Father. It is this bread that unites us to Jesus and to the Father. The Eucharist produces in us a flesh and blood relationship with God. In other words, what Jesus is proposing to you, to me, is a spiritual marriage. Jesus wants to be the bridegroom of your soul. And before you think that Jesus is saying something radical, something new, I assure you that he is not. This has always been God's plan for his people. Throughout the Old Testament, God refers over and over to Israel as his bride. It's the fulfillment of what God prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. You shall be called my delight and your land espoused. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Let the soul not be frightened at hearing itself being called a bride. She is truly that because of the incomprehensible love of God. Let her not be frightened at hearing herself be called my delight, my rest, and my sanctuary. She is all of these because she is a bride. And with our place as brides comes the joy that is fitting for a bride. This isn't just some title that God gives to us. It's a real relationship to which we are called. Despite his determination, his intensity, his regular experience of opposition and persecution, St. Paul understood this. Our second reading from St. Paul shows us this attitude, this heart of a bride. He writes, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing before the Lord with all your hearts, giving thanks always and in everything." Those are the words of a man who understands the joy of the Lord. Instead of St. Paul, it sounds much more like something St. Therese, the little flower, would write. And I wouldn't normally put those two together into that same mindset, but they certainly have a common understanding and an awareness of this identity and this promise. This is how St. Therese puts St. Paul's words into practice. She writes, "As a nun in a cloister, great deeds are forbidden me. So how am I to show my love? Well, I will scatter my flowers, perfuming the divine throne with their fragrance, and I'll sweetly sing my hymn of love. The only way I can prove my love is by scattering flowers, and these flowers are every little sacrifice, every glance and word, and the doing of the least actions out of love." Both St. Paul and St. Therese had the joy of living, and that joy that comes from knowing the promises of God and knowing their identity as his brides. How do we enter and take possession of this promise? "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." The promises are fulfilled at this wedding banquet we call the Mass. In our first reading, wisdom is insistent, "Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine that I've mixed." It's an invitation, very much like the invitation we'll hear shortly. "Behold the Lamb of God. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." Our God is a God of promises. In the three promises of today's gospel, there's a progression from a pledge of eternal life to a proposal of a spiritual marriage with God. It's my hope that while we might first come to God in order to receive the gift of eternal life for ourselves, that we might grow in our love for him and experience the fullness of the joy that he has for us in this life that comes from our union with God. It is outrageous, but it is not beyond understanding. The words of our second reading encourage us not to settle for anything less than what God desires for us. Do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of God. It's going to take effort, a consistent pursuit, but the promises of God are worth any and all efforts. Our God is a God of promises, promises that bring joy and eternal life. "Blessed indeed are those who are called to the wedding supper of the Lamb."